Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am so stoked to introduce to you Brezzo.
Oh, thank you.
So you can't tell because this is a podcast, but he is adorable in both man ways and also cartoonish ways. Will you describe for the folks why you are the most adorable thing?
Well, you know, I am a, I guess I've been called the premier burlesquer in Philadelphia. Ooh. I have a very trademarkable facial appearance. I have a gigantic villainous mustache.
It's a little snily whiplash.
It is. I've heard every possible joke related to train tracks and tying people to them, or you know, crazy laughter, like wah-ha-ha. I can see my mustache myself without the use of a mirror. Much like a sundial, I can tell what time it is by standing in the right direction and the shadow casts.
That's handy.
It is, especially when your cell phone dies because you've been, you know, taking Instagram photos all day and it kills your battery.
So, like, you just have to find north?
Pretty much. You just kind of look at the sun, stand, tilt your arm out. It's a whole process. Okay. It comes in the manual when you get your mustache.
Oh, cool. So, like, you got the mustache, like, from a box.
I mean, it's off the shelf.
Yeah. Awesome. So, as you mentioned, you are the premier burlesquer in Philadelphia. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird to get accolades, and you're like, but I'm just me. I just do my thing. But when there wasn't really anyone at the time. I'm sure there were previously, I've been informed, like, 10, 20, 30 years ago, there was an article written about burlesque that I was featured in. Somebody in the comments section mentioned that back in Atlantic City in the 50s, they had it. I didn't know of it. In searching Google for burlesque, you see there were other ones and doing it in the city. I found that somebody did it like back in the early 90s, had like a monthly show. But since then, it's only been me, and now there's like three or four others. Amazing ones, mind you, too. Ones I've performed within shows, like burlesque features. We had one back at Bravissimo Burlesque. Little Steph and Miss Rose orchestrated this gigantic show of men, manly men. and we had some brought in from out of town. The amazing Paco Fish. If you out there in internet land want to look him up, he's currently touring the country in his burlesque Vanguard tour. Like, van in quotes, I guess, because he's living in a van touring the country. But then a few other in the cities now. So Mr. Fahrenheit is a great guy. I've had the joy of performing a duet with him at one of these Sexploitation Folly shows. We were the two young boys from the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, yes.
Matching red tracksuits, all grown up with mustaches.
So, there are going to be immediately people asking questions about what are we talking about? What is burlesque?
To me, burlesque, I've seen a few myself. I take my own personal spin on it. It starts off as it's the seduction of burlesque, but from a man's perspective, which in my case, I've always found the easiest way to undermine any kind of potential laughing at you is to have them laugh with you. Mm-hmm. So most of my numbers are very like geeky, nerdy. So it could be like nerdy, nerdlesque is a thing. There's great troops that do that. D20 out of New York. I'm not entirely committed all the way to it, but like looking back at my costumes, I'm like, I have like three comic book references and like a Monty Python one and an Evil Dead number. So something that has a bit of comedy to it, but also has this like sexuality to it.
So how is it different than burlesque?
I don't really do classic stuff like the giant fan dances, feather boas, and things like that. It's a bit dirtier, I guess, in the sense that like I can be kind of grimy looking if I come out wearing a fedora, leather trench jacket, and a bolo whip. Indiana Jones isn't super glittery. But you add that. You kind of take what you use normally and make it like spectacular.
So who's the audience for Boylesque? Who likes who likes that particularly?
Generally, I find myself in shows that have other women burlesque performers and other like in between genders. I performed a few times with the Liberty City Kings, so I've had a pretty substantial following of LGBT fans. Really depends on what the show is. We've had burlesque shows that I was in where it's pretty much like split women, gay men, gay women, and in between. Transgender people, it's great. And it's really like the best compliments I've gotten are from people you wouldn't expect. Like some guy who's there on his like bachelor party and he's getting married to his like, you know, girlfriend for the past 10 years. And he's like, oh my God, you were great. you came out there and you just like, you owned it. And he's like, I'm going to go, you know, when I go home on wedding night, I'm going to like give her a little extra oomph.
And nice. Like, all right. You changed somebody's life.
Yeah. Oh, no. people that are like, you know, hey, man, you got up there. You've got a bit of pudge to you. I'm going to start losing weight. And I'm like, really?
Wait, what?
my body frame is like encouraging you to like hit the gym. I'm like, he's like, oh, yeah, you work out, right? I'm like, no, I ride my bike. That's about it. I maybe lift a glass a few times.
The beer has to get to the mouth somehow.
Yeah, and then it goes right to the belly.
I am always appreciative of the amount of planning that goes into your acts. Like,
oh, so much planning.
Like, you have props, and like, there's usually multiple levels of clothing. It's not like there are burlesque acts where they come out, there's a dress, below the dress is some lingerie, below that is nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And I've never seen you do that. I've seen like,
I mean, I have like even my most simplest number. Another nerdy thing. It's a PB Herman tequila number. The most, it's like a suit, a shirt, and like two pairs of underwear, and the giant, like, you know, creeper shoes. But then there's like little extra props. Like I have a tiny PB Herman doll. So I pull out my tiny peewee. But so there's always like a little
and
bit
where
extra.
Where do you pull him from?
I pull him from this weird pocket that I have for a pair of underwear. It's this underwear sits well above my belly button. Like, I don't think any time in the past waists were actually up there. I don't know why they're that high. It just happened to be almost near my elbows. Like, so that there's a bit of comedy there. It's like this guy's wearing this gigantic pair of underwear, and then I pull him out of this like kangaroo pouch pocket that I found at Jomar off the rack.
So, so somewhere there's an old man who wishes that he had had that.
Yeah, he was
underwear.
Trying to find a pair of underwear. He's like, I need some underwear that they sold in the 40s. And I'm going to go to Jomar, buy my underwear off a hanger. I kid you. I shit you not. They have underwear that's on hangers. And I'm like, this is weird. Why would... Okay. But I, you know, I took it home and E6000 rhinestones onto it to kind of like add a little bit extra like, look down here. Your eyes go here.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about having everybody's eyes go there?
Oh, I mean, it's in some cases, like, I'm asking for it. Like, that's part of this. It's part of the appeal. But it's one of those things, but literally, when you have certain things, people are just going to comment on it anyway. And you work with that, you know, my mustache. If I wasn't spruced up with my mustache, to be like, oh, you really pretty eyes, or I like your glasses, you know, like nice ass, something like that. You kind of work with it. Yeah, but you direct where you want it to be. You know, if I kind of flirt, like, you know, the little hand wave, like it's time to look up here while I, you know, distract you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a magic act of sorts. Not saying that I can do any real magic, but it kind of like you distract and then appropriate where they should be looking and paying attention to.
Like, so is this part of the use of assholes?
Yes.
So assholes are?
They're pasties that are affixed to your buttocks and with tassels. and nice shiny distracting things.
And then you can, do you twerk?
I had a slight twerk shop with the great Haley Jane. I may have thrown my back out afterwards.
Oh.
I had another show, and I carried my stuff in a giant backpack that I own. I can probably fit like a small child in there, which I don't, please.
Yeah.
Looking at me with the mustache, I do not kidnap children.
Let's make sure that everybody knows
that. The state evidence is out on that. But no, like I could put like, you know, like a keg of beer in this backpack.
It's wow.
Like that large. I'm going to carry it because it's obviously, you know, enough to shatter my spine. But the next day I reached over to grab something out of it, my costumes, and I may have pulled something the night before by actually, because first I learned shimmies and shakes and little like side to side stuff. And she's like, no, it's like you rotate your pelvis slightly more. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Actually, I think it was at the slut walk benefit. There happened to be a stripper pole there. And they're like, oh my God, you can do this. Here, just do this. Try this. And I'm like, oh, cool. You can't really tell unless people are telling you what is working, because I can't exactly see all the way back there.
You can't see your own ass.
I mean, it's a pretty large ass, but I can't see it from like all the way around. I got to turn my neck, stretch a little bit. But yeah, I managed to twerk it apparently.
Nice. Well done.
I twerked it out.
Yeah. So your experience in Boylesque, what prompted it? What took you from doing it to doing it?
Yeah, that was it's an interesting story. I've been friends with the premier badass of Burlesque of Philadelphia, Miss Rose, for like over 8 years now. She actually knew me before I had a mustache. Yeah.
Wow.
She's like, remember when you didn't look like this all the time? And I'm like, oh yeah.
Knowing Michael Jackson when he was a little kid.
Yeah, and he was like a different color of the rainbow. Yeah, we've been friends for a while, and she and little Steph started a show, Bravissima Burlesque, and she's like, you clean up nice in a suit, you can count money right, and you can stamp people's hands. Do you want to be our doorman? And I was like, okay. She's like, you know, get rid of all the scruff on your beard, make sure your mustache looks nice. You know, if you need help getting like suit parts and things like that, like she's a costumer by trade. She's like, I will help you get the costume. I just did air quotes there for people who can't see me right now. get the costuming right. So I did that, and we, it was a great showcase for like 3 years. And, we always had people there related to Burlesque who weren't necessarily performing, people that possibly sold pasties or fascinations, the little feather things.
Fascinators,
mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Precisely. And or like garter belts. And one of our friends was next to me at the door selling these and wearing a three-piece suit. I was like, I'd reach into my jacket, into the vest, pull the money out. And from one hand in the right, money out. And I was like, wouldn't it be funny when I opened my jacket if I had these pasties pinned, mind you, pinned to my vest? Ha ha, this man is wearing pasties. That's hilarious. And little Steph actually kind of did a little boob grab. And she's like, oh, you got enough there. Yeah, spirit gum, boom, done. Next month we're having our raffle. Our drum roll is going to be you and our stage monkey. As opposed to a stage kitten, if you know the burlesque terms, Ray will be twirling tassels for the drums. So, you know, they're like, all right, and the first winner of the prize is twirl, 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 so-and-so. And the audience, like, went crazy. Because, you know, you get up stage and you have on, like, a Western Snap shirt, and poof. If you've never done this, audience, wear a Snap shirt the first time your sexual partner sees it, instantly their eyes widen. They're like, your shirt just exploded off of your body.
Too much sexy.
Yeah. It's like the Clark Kent thing. You're like, all of a sudden you're mild mannered, and then you're like, I'm super now. People liked it, and then they're like, so when are you gonna do this? And I was like, I've never really thought of that. So that was a month, and then I think possibly in either August or September, and then by October, we had a Halloween show. So I developed a like 2 minute or 1 minute, however long the 1966 Batman TV show theme song is. That's how long my first number was. for the whole show, I was dressed as the Joker. Pardon me. Which, based a little bit of a mixture of all the good Jokers, a little bit of Mark Hamill from the animated series, kind of a little bit of the voice. And Cesar Romero, because he famously painted his mustache. So I painted mine, and then I let the tips of it go red to give a bit of the Heath Ledger weird, like, smile. And then I had this, like, weird coughed, like, green hair. So the whole show, I'm wearing pasties under my vest and shirt while I'm taking money, and my chest hair is spray-painted green, which, in the way that I have to shave my nipple area, it makes this weird, like, martini glass shape, like, naturally. Nice. People was like, how do you get it like that? I'm like, I just shave around my nipples. Like, it's the size of the pasty. I just shave that because otherwise it's too much. Like, I think I trimmed up the side one time and, like, cut it.
Ow.
Yeah, yeah. Not a pleasant thing to cut.
Wait, your nipple?
No. Just, like, on my chest.
Oh, okay. Still it not.
Yeah.
Not fun.
No, because it's, like, near your buttons of your shirt and it gets chafed. It's bad news. But, yeah, so I did this number, came out as Batman, take off this Batman hoodie. And I'm wearing the Joker costume again. Take off the Joker costume or the shirt. I'm wearing a Batman shirt. I'm wearing a utility belt. Take off the utility belt. I'm wearing a Joker belt buckle.
Okay.
Then I think I left my pants on even for this number. And then I just, like, throw tassels for, like, 10 seconds. And, like, they're like, and it's, like, your shirt's green. Your chest hair is green. Wow. I'm like, what are you doing again? I'm like, I have to make stuff. It's like, this was an old Halloween costume I kind of threw together. So then... did another number a couple months later. I think in my first year, I only did like 6 performances maybe. And then people just kept on encouraging the other performers. This one performer, Louise Lettiz, I was mentioning the fact that I bought a gray pinstripe suit and I wanted to maybe make a Pee Wee Herman number. She's like, oh my God, I have this perfect red bow tie for you. I've used it, but it kind of needs a little love. You need to fix it up a bit. She gave that to me. Ray, our stage monkey, gave me these creepers that I turned into the platform shoes. So it's at the start, people kept giving me things. Joy Martini from the Peekaboo Review gave me my first pair of sock garters, literally off of his legs.
I love how you are giving all these shout outs. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is adorable.
I mean, these people are like, they made me what I am in this sense. Their feedback is great. That's one of those things. Like, the scene in Philadelphia is very welcoming. If people like what you're doing, they'll encourage you. And if you're doing something wrong, they'll encourage you to do it right.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. If you're doing something totally wrong and you shouldn't do it, they'll try to make it to where you're like, you should do it right. They're like, you know, you're already in. You're in the pool now. Try to go to the deep end. Stop swimming around in the shallow portion. Get your swimmies off and, you know, get your head wet. But yeah, more encouragements. People that I didn't even know I would perform that were from New York or from Washington, D.C. And they're like, wow, that was great. And I'm like, but you don't know me. Like, you're not just like blowing smoke up my ass, which is not a number I'm doing yet. It is, you know, pending. But yeah, people would just encourage me. And I just went from there.
All right, so the question that this leads to for me, obviously, because this is a show about sex.
Mm-hmm.
So we've previously had on someone whose full-time job was as a full-nude male stripper.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of sex that just got thrown in his face at that job. Does the same thing happen in Boylesque?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, like, it's a problem you want to have, but it's a problem. It's like, if I could write a letter to my 13-year-old self, like, hey, you know how you're not going to, like, and then 13 to 18, you're like, you know how you're not going to have sex in high school at all? When you get into your, like, late 20s, you're going to, you might have to actually think about it. And like, oh, maybe it'll happen. It's going to, it's like, no, this is happening now.
So this is like your It Gets Better letter.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
To a
dear comic book reading Brett at age 12. You're going to actually talk to a girl one day.
It's going to be awesome.
She'll approach you
and
be like, hi, like, I'm so-and-so. I like what you do. Even, like, outside of it. But this just, it's just there. I had one show. I perform in the summertime. Through spring through summer, I've been performing the last 2 years. And I used to do a lot of production stuff with Carnivolution and the Squidling Brothers out in West Philly. And after one of the shows, I set the lights up in the beginning of the show. I performed. They actually like dropped me in from the crow's nest where the lights are on a harness, performed, and then they like hoist me back up. So the second half of the show, I'm just fixing the lights, doing the light cues, and like, you know, oh, fire acts going on. Kill the lights so people can see the fireballs and aerial stuff. Switch all the lights at the top so they can see the girls spinning around. And so I was up there for the second half of the show. This particular girl stayed to like talk to me after the show and just pulled my pasties right off of my nipples. And I don't know if you've ever happened to have a spirit gummed nipple in your mouth. They're not, it's not a good taste. Imagine like,
well, that doesn't sound comfortable for you going around ripping people's pasties off.
I mean, I was still like on a weird endorphin high from performing, and I was also kind of half naked already. It was the middle of July too, so I was like, all right, oh, this is happening now. It's like when you pull the old fashioned bathtub like plungers out with a cord, and then suddenly it starts swirling down. That like things started swirling in my head. She was just like, she just turned and did like the come hither finger move. And I was like, I got to pack all this stuff up. I'll be there in a second. Give me a minute. But yeah, it just randomly happened. And I mentioned to a few girls like afterwards, like in like dressing room talk. And I was like, so have you guys like ever had a fan that you were just like, all right, yeah, we're doing this. Or they were like aggressive. Like, no, most men actually are kind of respectful in like a burlesque show. They realize that they most likely have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And they're not necessarily there to pick someone up.
But female fans don't get that?
They just, I guess because I'm in a role that's generally like reserved for women, even though burlesque in its own history is gendered both ways, every which way but loose.
Yeah.
They just have this like, all right, you're in your underwear right now. Like, we're halfway there.
So that's fascinating. That's a really good point to make because like in the regular world outside of burlesque, there's, you know, sort of the opposite problem. But then in burlesque, it's like generally male audience members are incredibly respectful and they're coming there and completely attuned to the culture of the show where, yes, you're allowed to hoot and holler and that's what we love. But
catcalls are expected and appreciated.
Yeah, but no grabbing. If somebody tried to pull off a pasty off of a female burlesque performer,
oh, they would be losing teeth.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. But is this a common occurrence that women then like don't respect your boundaries? Is this a
It's one of those things where that one, like, I think we caught eyes earlier in the night when I was still wearing clothes. So, like, we kind of had that, like, connection made already.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've had other cases where actually when I performed one time at a lesbian bar, one particular patron, because I had my assholes on, she was just like, oh, let's see him twirl. Can I smack it? And I was like, all right, whatever. I've had a bit more drink than I should have. I don't care. Like, you know, go for it.
That's the nature of the gay poor at the lesbian bar.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, this is hilarious. You're like, she's like, you're straight? You're totally straight? Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, why would this, you know, this has nothing to do with what I prefer in, you know, a sexual partner. Like, this is a performance. You get that, right? And then I was like, yeah, just stop when it's red. Like, oh, now you can stop now, please. Please stop slapping it. The star on my butt's gonna fall off.
Oh,
but you know, it was all in fun and games. But I mean, I work in a bar where half of our staff is women, and all the ass grabbing is like, get out of the way. You know, I'm carrying these giant cases of beer. Move aside. Is the women squeezing the men who work their butts? Like, that's the only kind of like ass grabbing that's occurring. So like, I'm used to that culture of like, move it. Move it or lose it, buddy.
Okay.
And
does that feel like fine and collegial, or does that feel like
if it's done in jest and in good nature, okay. But like, I've never had anyone like come up and be like, "What's up?" Grab. It's more like, "You cool with this?" Haha, funny. Like, so it's, you know, it's fun as long as it's like mutual and it's consensual.
Like
if I didn't want them to do that, I would have been like, no, hands to yourself, sir or madam. But yeah, I mean, when are they going to see that? So
when are they going to see what?
A man standing around with things glued to his ass.
Oh, fair enough. So it has brought you a little bit of notoriety. And one of the things I wanted to mention as an example of it is that, so the Lulu app, you're one of the few guys who is aware of this.
Yeah.
The Lulu app, you have to have a female Facebook page. You have to be identified as a female on a Facebook page to even be able to see this app. And it's basically like a Yelp of dudes.
Yeah, it's a review system for men. Guys can look at it too, but their version is different. It'll just tell you someone's looked at it. You get a weird like speedometer rating, like you're in the hot zone or you're cooling off, buddy. And they use like a system of like tagging or something. I had a friend who actually sent me screen caps because that's, I guess they allow that. It's not like Snapchat where they tell you that they're taking a capture of these like weird hashtags that they have, like hashtag sexual panther, hashtag bedroom eyes, hashtag owns a pair of Crocs, which I don't. Please, if you're on this site, I don't own Crocs.
And then there's also like a quantitative rating too, on like a scale out of 1 to 10.
1 to 10, yeah. Apparently, it's fluctuated a few times. I've had some lady friends that reviewed me, I guess. The thing, though, is, like, it's one of those things where it's all, I guess it's internal to be like, you know, this is a guy who you should stay away from. This is a good guy. This is a good dude. And I've been getting good dude reviews, I guess.
You're a good dude. Yeah. I'll vouch for that. Yeah.
Which, you know, it's, I try to be modest, which I think is part of it. Like, if I was super conceited and egotistical, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I got a 9 today. Like, or, oh my God, I dropped down to a 7.5. Like, gotta, like, up my game. Which I don't really think I have, but apparently I do.
Well, I just want to talk to you as a dude, like, not even necessarily as a guy who has a good rating on there, but just as a dude. Like, mm-hmm. How do you feel about this concept? Because there's no way to appeal. Somebody can go in and post today about an experience they had 5 years ago, and it'll show up today.
Yeah, from what my understanding is, it's not super specific. Like, they're not, pardon me, they're not, like, writing a review, like, you know, I walked into this restaurant, and the tables were dirty, and the waitress didn't come up to me, and the waiter ignored me, and the bartender was not paying attention to me. 5 out of, you know, 12 stars. It's more like, these are good things. It's like a like 1 to 10 scale for stuff. I apparently lack the commitments needed to have babies, which is a big. Oh yeah. Because I asked my friend. I was like, why is this one rating so low? It's like, oh, because it's you know, they give you like a one, like out of 5 choices, something like, you know, like, oh my God, let's pick names, or, you know, not mine. You know, and I'm sort of in the, like, we've discussed this, right? If something happens, like, there's, like, 2 words that start with A that we're going either one of those options or possibly just not having it to begin with. So, yeah, apparently it's, like, baby crazy, and I'm not in that mindset.
I didn't even know about that facet of it because, like, I've discussed it with a few guys who are, like, my problem is that, like, if I was a shitty dude to somebody one time,
yeah,
like forever, that's gonna be up there. And I mean, in reality, that's how reputations do work. But
yeah, I mean, I've had situations that I'm not proud of. I've tried to grow from them. You know, but like I said, from what my understanding is, it's not specific.
And there's no accountability because you don't know who says what.
I mean, I've heard you can take it down pretty much. Because if you have a Facebook account, you're on it immediately. Mm-hmm. Even if you're set to a private account where only, like, you know, friends of friends don't even know you exist. Like, you have to be, like, requested. You could put up a fake picture or something, or that weird profile shadow, the weird spit curl. Mm-hmm. Or, like, the 1950s hair swoop. You're still on it, even if you don't have a real face for Facebook. But you can take it down. It's either there or off. And you can't really change, like, oh yeah. Because I think Yelp, actually, if you pay them money, that will take your bad reviews down.
Mm.
Speaking of which, I've had reviews from Yelp for my day jobs because they're like, Mustache Man wasn't really funny today. I'm like, like, really? Because my one boss is just like, oh, I like reading our reviews for the bakery, and people are like, well, the cupcakes were great. Great customer service. Mustache Man keeping it good, or like something like that. And then this one lady, apparently, like, I just either made a joke that didn't sell, or I just was maybe slightly hungover and wasn't like, hey, how's it going? Here's your cupcakes. So I didn't dazzle her with my customer service one day. So I guess that could happen with the Lulu situation.
But the thing also is, like, on a Yelp or, you know, a lot of those is like, you can see who posted what, and you can be mm-hmm. like, so this person has posted 24 reviews in the last month. There's something going on with that person. I can take what they say mm-hmm. with a grain of salt. But with this, you don't know if it's all girlfriends that you were with for a year and a half minimum, or if it's just like some crazy person that like wanted to date you and you never did. They're all mashed together.
They're left like anonymous for the reviewers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand why, so that you can be honest without danger. Because like, if you post that somebody's a really crappy person and fear, you know, payback
rebuttal,
for that.
Rebuttal,
yeah. Yeah. If somebody's like legitimately bad. But I had a dude friend who showed me the apps in the first place and was like, I don't understand this one, because it's like, it's all hashtags and it's like, forgets his wallet. He's like, I've never done that. I've never not paid for a date. That's the thing, is like, I don't even understand why this is here.
I mean,
or what it's referring to.
I take, like, you know, sort of the comedy of hashtags, like hashtag, 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 too many hashtags, like hashtag run on sentence. Like, some of them are pretty funny. And then some are like legit ones. Like, well, my favorite one that I have, I think, is apparently I smell amazeballs.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That should go on your resume. Yeah.
He showers and uses deodorant. Like, what? He's a man, though.
So.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, they're like, I take it with a grain of salt as comedy. Like, you know, I see comedy in everything, kind of, because if you don't, it's too grim.
Okay.
Like,
and I also think when we're coming to, like, the idea of reviewing a human with whom you interacted. So another friend of mine who has put a lot of, like, very cerebral contemplation into Lulu was like, so I think that if someone comes in and reviews me and says that it wasn't a good connection, like, or I'm reviewing somebody else's, like mm-hmm. some girl that he's interested in. I'm reviewing somebody's, whatever they said about how it went. It's irrelevant because, like, how well they get along has absolutely nothing to do with, like, how well we'll get along. And in fact, the fact that they did not work out is in my best interest.
Yeah. I mean, it's interpersonal connections. Everyone has their own side they show to people, like their public face, their private face. And when you meet people, sometimes, like, you could be in, you know, all the, and in math, it's the same. Like, oh, I've dated this person for a year, but it's not the same if you date somebody else for a year. You grow from that one relationship to the next, and that part isn't there, like the growth of a person. So I guess, like, there's no way to actually see this stuff and change from it, which, like, you know, with a regular review for a service or a business, they're used for that purpose of, like, hey, you should fix this. In this case, it's like, this is what I think. This is my opinion, and there's nothing you can change about it. Like, I don't think I can go on to that thing and change someone's opinion about me.
No.
I can just change my own actions and, you know, or just kind of ignore it.
Yeah.
And just live my life.
Also an option. Yeah. So, speaking of living your life and being awesome and doing awesome things, where can people find out more about you? Where can they see you perform?
I have a Facebook fan page. Occasionally, I've been known to draw comics, which is where my stage name came from. I actually took it from when I was a child. Decided I was a weirdo by being told by every kid in elementary school, and hated my last name because it was too many letters. I was a fan of Gonzo, the Muppet, so I picked Zoe as, I thought it was his last name. I was like, that's my new last name. I'm Brett space Zoe. My parents, to their credit, called me that for 5 years. So when I needed a pen name for drawing comics, I realized there was another comic artist whose name was J. Brett Hopkins, about 10 years older than me, much more accomplished. People kept confusing me with him. So I was like, I'm going to use my old nickname as my pen name. That became my stage name. So I've turned my fan page for my comic work into my whole catch-all. It's Brezzo, B-R-E, two T's, Z-O. I also have a Twitter account that I occasionally have diarrhea of the mind with. Because that's what Twitter's for, right?
It's Mania. Shitter.
It's shitter. Yeah. Hashtag shitterbag. So I post things on that. Like my next couple performances, I'm going to be at Carnivolution in October, second Friday out in West Philly. I think in November, I'll be traveling for the second time to New York for an Alan Moore tribute show where I'll be performing as V from V for Vendetta because I pretty much look like Guy Fawkes anyway. So putting on the anonymous mask is just like one extra step. There's that. I've been getting randomly booked for stuff, so it's like constantly updating. I usually just kind of give advance notice about like a week or two. Something's happening. I'll be here. And occasionally I'll be showing up at surprise shows as guest appearances, like unannounced.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sometimes it's great because people don't know what to expect. And then I come out and they're like, oh, yeah, it's just a guy, whatever. And then they're like, oh, my God, that was great. I'm like, really?
Assholes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and don't forget the penasshole. I'm actually trying to develop other ones, like other areas.
Ooh.
Possibly maybe armpits, crevices. I've been trying to work out a belly button tassel.
Interesting.
An inverted tassel.
Yeah.
With the cone shape going the other way.
And then you can definitely twirl that.
Yeah. A little like truffle shuffle going on.
Maybe some knees?
Maybe. I always thought it'd be hilarious if I had them on my arm or my elbow or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a bazillion tassels. I would just have to come out in a giant bodysuit and just take it all off to glue them all on hours in advance.
I'm trying to remember the name. For some reason, it just fell out of my head of the medical condition of multiple nipples. And you could do that whole, because in human beings, when it happens, it tends to be along the seams. So they're right above or below, below their primary nipples. And they can even be functional. But you could definitely be a cow.
Oh, I mean, there's one of the great performers I've shared a stage with at the Wes Anderson Sex Filtration Folly show was Miss Marijuana. She did a fantastic Mr. Fox number where she had fox nipples.
Nice.
Like six of them.
She's all a genius.
It was so great. Little jacket, pulled it off. Multiple nipples.
Her, she's got that shark number. I don't know. She's she's so fucking good.
I'm actually gonna, possibly, we've been discussing doing a duet. She is a fiery redhead.
Oh, and we also need to do Archer Burlesque.
Oh, yeah, that
and there
too.
Was a discussion of having her be Pam, because she'd fucking
she'd
nail it.
She'd be a great Pam. A little, dolphin puppet.
And were you going to be Cyril or something?
I think I was going to be Cyril Figgis.
That would be amazing.
My regular life glasses are almost exactly like his right now. But actually, he used to perform in glasses. I've been wearing my contacts for most of them just so I don't break them. Somehow, they fly off, and now I'm blind for the night because I can only see about 3 inches in front of my face.
Oh, that's helpful. Yeah.
and riding a bike in Philadelphia, that caused to... How did he die? He was riding his bike without his glasses, and a semi hit him. Why the semi was driving down Poplar Street, I don't know.
Awesome. So everybody needs to go like Brezzo's fan page and go see him in person. If you haven't seen Brezzo perform live, it's a thing that you need to do. It needs to be on your bucket list. Faux real.
Thank you.
And also just go pester him about his mustache at the bakery. So.
Oh, yeah. There's that. the bar I work at. If you see a person in Philadelphia with a mustache, they've probably been mistaken for me. There's a bar manager at Underground Arts. He has a mustache. It's not nearly as big as mine. And people call it mustache envy. I'm like, no, he just has one. Leave the guy alone. Stop harassing him because he doesn't have the 8-year strong thing. That too, in the past couple years, there's a lot of merchandise You know how when people have like pig or cow type tchotchkes around their house, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh yeah, one day I bought a little like creamer for my coffee that was a cow, and then everyone thought I loved cows. So every holiday and birthday, they give me cow stuff. I've been getting mustache stuff from people. Like, hey, I got you this duct tape that has mustaches on it. And I'm like, cool, I'll put that in the shelf that all my mustache paraphernalia is.
Oh, but yeah. Or like, yeah, for the rest of your life. That is an exponential problem. Because then if somebody comes over and then they see all of it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
He obviously loves mustaches so much that I have to buy everything I see for him. But it's endearing when people are like, I saw this and thought of you. Like friends from like college that I haven't seen in like 5 years in person, but we all exist in the internet, are like, hey, I saw this and thought of you today. Aww. You know, I got a mood ring that's a mustache. Aww. It's your birthday present, but I'm keeping it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking about Boy Less today, Brezzo.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.